Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. Lots to get to, including two nights worth of WrestleMania predictions, which will take up the bulk of this program, I presume. But Les becomes an infinitely more difficult man to track down once someone pays him a compliment or two. So this week, I had to go through Les's brand new security team and be properly vetted before I could make this call and actually get our resident legend on the line, because he is receiving a very prestigious award and he is now moving up in the world.
Yeah, it's a lateral movement. No, actually, and what Vic is babbling about, I'm sure if you've been on Facebook or if you've been on Twitter, you probably know some of this already, but on Wednesday, I got a phone call wondering if I'd be available in July to come to Waterloo, Iowa, to receive an award from the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And I said, yeah, I think maybe I can make it. No, quite frankly, I was blown away, honored, humbled, proud, all the above, man. That's going to walk with the giants of the industry, I'm so proud about that. And it's a new award, the Jack Briscoe Spotlight Award. And of course, Jack's a dear friend, and I'm sure Gerald is going to do the presentation. But it's what it amounts to is for my, I guess, dedication and involvement, and obviously work within wrestler as a wrestler, trainer, booker, promoter, television producer, commentator, and so forth. So anyway, whatever it is, I'm all for it. I'm excited. I truly am. And so, yeah, so be going to, it's the 20th through the 22nd at Waterloo. And so we'll be headed up there. I don't know if maybe we'll see the schedule. We might be able to do a show from there. On that Friday, you know, depending on that's Central Time, I'm guessing, isn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we can work something out. I, you know, it's funny, you start thinking about goofy things sometimes when something like that, important like this happens. And I was thinking, okay, maybe do I open my acceptance with, finally, Les Thatcher has come back to Waterloo. And the reason I say that is I was thinking the first time I was ever in Waterloo, I was in 1963 when we were working for the Kansas City office. So it's been a number of years since I've been in Waterloo, Iowa, and I'm sure it's changed as well. And obviously I've got to get a couple of Briscoe Booster T-shirts to wear up there as well. What do you think here? Just to lighten the mood a little bit, is when I finally get to the podium, as I say, well, let's make this right because of the name of this award, strip off my jacket, my shirt, and I've got on my Briscoe Booster T-shirt. What do you think?
I like it. I like it, particularly since it's named for Jack, and Gerald was the one who delivered the great news to you, and I'm sure he'll be there, and hopefully he'll convince a lot of people to pony up and buy some shirts from you that weekend.
And we'll pick on each other constantly through the weekend, as we have been for years as friends.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, the only person who probably hate that would be my wife. She probably would lose her mind. What are you doing? But anyway, I'm honored. Like I say, I'm excited. I'm proud. And it's just, you know, it's a great time. To Gerald, when we talked about it, I said, wow, July is going to be a big month. And he said, what else? I said, well, my first match was July the 4th. This July the 4th, it would have been 63 years.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what I said. Wow. But, yeah. So, anyway, you know, what's cool about it is Tom Burke is going in for the historian. Tom saw me wrestle, for Christ's sake, when I broke in with Santos.
Wow,
you know, back
really?
In 60. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, he lives up in New England. That's where our matches were. So he knew Les Milady before there ever was a Les Thatcher.
Hmm.
and he's being inducted. And I think Bill DeMond, Hugh Morris is I know he's going to be in attendance. I'm not sure, but anyway, so a whole bunch of people. And again, but to think I could walk through that building and see the giants of the industry, people that I've only read about, some that I've been honored and pleased to have been able to meet, a couple that I've been able to wrestle, but I belong there. And that's, I guess that's kind of the climax of 63 years. And what a hell of a way to go, I guess. I'm babbling because I'm obviously, you know, overwhelmed with this, but yeah, I'm proud and honored to have been chosen. So, somebody told I got an email saying that you guys bordered on 90 minutes the last couple of weeks. Keep it up.
Well, I tell you
what, come from Tony Leader or from Dave or Brian. So.
I tell you what, if anybody wants to pitch in for the extra 30 minutes, we'll start a GoFundMe.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, you know, I'm thinking maybe we can do something from there. That while we're on doing and not doing, for those listening, I need to mention this. Later this month, I'll be headed to Jamaica. My stepdaughter's getting married, and so we're making that trip. So there'll be at least one Friday that we will not be. I had thought about taking the computer over, taking my laptop with me, or because I've got a new one and it's working. And in fact, my stepdaughter and her fiance are the ones that gave it to me for Christmas. So I better take it, just show them I'm using it. But I thought, well, maybe we do a show with me and Jamaica. And I thought I better leave that alone because it's their time and I don't even know what that schedule is going to be. So I just mind my own business and go and enjoy the sun and the event.
That's it.
But yeah, so we'll be jumping around here a little bit. But man, we've got so much to cover today, do we not? We better look at 90 minutes.
We should. Yeah, you definitely should just go to Jamaica and enjoy yourself. Take in the ceremony, and whenever you can, get on the beach with one of those fancy drinks with an umbrella in it, because we've been covering a lot of ground these last few weeks and probably will over the next few, especially today, talking about 90 minutes. I have no idea if that's where we're going to get there, but we got two nights worth of WrestleMania predictions to make, and obviously that'll lead to a number of discussions about the way things have been going for various wrestlers and particular angles and where they could be going from here. But I feel like there is one other thing outside of WWE that we've got to talk about before we get into this, and it's the mess that just about everybody has been touched by in wrestling journalism and in the AEW locker room recently over the last week and some change. And that is the whole thing that apparently may have started here on our message board. Thankfully, not in our thread, but with Dave talking about Punk and Moxley and whether or not there was, you know, whatever, the whole deal that we touched upon to some degree last week. But there's been a little more to it with Jon Moxley appearing on his wife Renee's podcast this past week. And I should also point out to you, Les, before you give your comments on your thoughts regarding Mox's statements, because I know you've had a chance to check it out, I do want to point out something that, as we record this, is relatively new on the front page. Within the last hour of us, before we met up here today, Les, this was posted to the front page at F4WOnline.com. The headline reads, AEW and CM Punk agreed to reconciliation plan prior to Instagram comments. So a plan to bring Punk back to AEW had apparently been in the works, but it's now unknown where things currently stand. In this week's Observer, which is also, by the way, up on the front page at F4WOnline.com, Dave reported Tony Khan wanted Punk back. An agreement on reconciliation had been reached, but at this moment, it's not clear how Punk's Instagram comments from last week may have impacted the situation. As far as I'm concerned, the way they should have impacted it is, let's go right back to Punk and Moxley, let's all make money, and shut up.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That's where the numbers were, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and we're not going to get into that, at least not right now, but the numbers this past Wednesday were more dismal than the numbers the week before.
Boy.
And we can't lay that blame at basketball, at college basketball. So, yeah. But, yeah, I don't disagree. And you know, if disagreements and little, you know, flare-ups between talents and everything. I think I've told the story here before, but I remember Wahoo McDaniel and the Destroyer, Don Jardine, in a small dressing room at the Raleigh Television in Raleigh, North Carolina, years ago, going at one another, where, I mean, it was such containment, guys were almost afraid to get in there, try to break it up. I mean, they're throwing punches at each other. There's blood on it spattered. And finally, it was Sandy Scott and Sweet Hansen that was able to get between them. But these guys, I mean, and talk about, this wasn't somebody trying to bite somebody or trying to pull somebody down. I mean, this is a legitimate fight. And, you know, they went on to work against one another, you know, on down the road. You know, if there was, that's, I think, well, we'll get, Moxley mentioned the drama. He'd never been in a dressing room where there was so much drama, or locker room with so much drama in his life. And I think some of that would be deleted or held down to a mild roar if someone that actually had, you know, it, from inside the business was given the, you know, to sit down with guys and talk through these things and work it from that level. It's a shame. I mean, Punk drew the money. Are they going to have differences? Yes. Does everybody? I mean, everybody doesn't have differences, but that's going to continue because you're talking about huge egos, a lot of testosterone, and everybody wanting to make money. And when you get in this business, I don't care how big you are, how small you are, how untalented or talented you are. Your first thought is, I want to be a world champion. We all did, you know. But at some point, the realization is that only a few people are going to be granted that because of whatever, and you may not be one of them. So what do? My God, you do the best. You know, you still go out there and leave it all in the ring every night and let the people know that, you know, it's your passion, it's your love, it's your life, and make your living, you know, and forget about it. And that's probably, you know, easy to say, too, at this point in my life. But it's true, you know, because everybody that laces a pair of boots up or puts on a pair of kick pads, I guess, at this point in time, wants to be world champion.
So with respect to John Moxley's comments, I know you referenced the one about the most BS he's ever been through, which covers some ground, given the fact that he spent 8 years in WWE and was very vocal on Chris Jericho's podcast about how much being there drove him absolutely nuts. You hear that and the other stuff about him, you know, not really being overly, feeling like he went out of his way, I think, was the way he was portraying it, to be good to the company that, admittedly, I think he would say has been good to him. Obviously, Tony's very understanding when he went into his program last year. And he did, in fact, return the favor by really being the MVP, as we've discussed, during a good portion of last year when the company was really down and out in terms of stars. Moxley really stepped up and responded at a time when he didn't have to, when we learned just how much he didn't have to, with the fact that he revealed this week not under contract during a lot of that portion of time, which I guess jives with the fact that we were hearing at the time he was getting ready to go on vacation. We didn't understand that it was an unpaid vacation at the time. But now knowing that, there is a little more context to it. But at the same time, given how unhappy he was at this time in WWE, I don't want to say it was disingenuous because it wasn't, but I did kind of roll my eyes a little bit at the way he described, you know, I didn't have to be in any of this. I could have shown up on the other company with their belt and done whatever I wanted. You wouldn't. After that Jericho podcast, if you'd shown up back there, I think everybody would have been stunned. And to me, I can't say sloppy shop regarding that in particular with the way Tony Khan's done things, although we can say that about a lot of the stuff he's done. Because I can't imagine he, for a second, even thought that you would show up on the other show either for the same reasons. He heard everybody else, like everybody else heard you talk about on Jericho's podcast and probably through conversations with him that you had. I mean, I can't imagine, as mishandled as some things have been on Tony's watch, having never done this before for a living, there's no way he didn't have some kind of understanding with Mox. First of all, convincing him to come back and do anything at all when he wasn't under contract. Secondly, to sit there and say, well, I could have been on the other show next week. Well, yeah, you could have been, but you can't tell me. And I think it's convenient that you left that out and wasn't, you know, of course you talked to Tony. And of course, Tony, you and Tony had an understanding that that's not what you were going to do. Otherwise, he would have never put you in that position.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing of it is, too, that until John mentioned it on the podcast, I wasn't aware, and I'm not sure if somebody might have been, but you or I weren't, that he was not actually under contract to them at that point in time.
Yes.
And with his comment that he could have done any damn thing he wanted is true.
It is.
You know, if you remember Medusa walking out on WWE and dropping the women's belt in the trash can at WCW, or, damn, Lex Luger is on WCW, right? He pops up at the Ball of Americas when they're doing the big show there in Minneapolis. So, yeah, if somebody hasn't crossed their T's and dotted their I's, you're in a position to do whatever the hell you want. So, people disagreeing on a finish or how to go about a storyline is not unusual or different. It's common and daily or weekly, whatever. But, yeah, he did them a favor by going along with it, because he could have just, or he could have easily said, here, take the damn belt if you want it. I'm out of here.
True. Also true. I think my biggest thing with that is, you know, again, to me, it feels convenient to leave out the fact that you clearly had a conversation with Tony and you squared everything, even if there wasn't something on paper. And secondly, I mean, after that, you were, as you should have been, a very handsomely rewarded with a brand new contract that includes some additional duties in addition to your wrestling. So let's not act like this was complete charity on your part.
No, that's, you know, it was actually a good business move on his part.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that enhanced his contract, if not for length, for a few bucks extra or whatever, or maybe a combination of both. I don't know. But, yeah. But, you know, in watching the podcast, I sat here and smiled a couple of times. The way Renee handles him, and second, that John really hasn't changed. You know, that's his, who cares? He cares, but that's still, you know, all right, you know, whatever. I remember one time we were at a show in Illinois, believe it or not, and the crowd was hushed, and him, I forget who he was working with, but they were, it wasn't all over the building, but they were fighting outside the ring. And he either potatoed the other guy or the other guy potatoed him. And I don't remember who it was. And Mox let the F word slip loudly, right? And I thought, oh, Christ. And the audience at that point was silent. So it wasn't like somebody might have missed him saying it. And I said something to him after. I mean, it wasn't my show anyway. I was there doing a training seminar. And I said, damn, John, you know, I didn't mean to. We went on. But that is his personality, you know. But in a way, in the crazy business we're in, it sometimes saves your life to be that way. Instead of being too structured or too, committed or whatever. But, yeah, it's John. But, again, you know, he did do them a favor, and, I can't believe why Punk couldn't work this out. Well, while we're talking about this, let's mention that we saw FDR posing for pictures with CM.
Yes, we did, in the last couple of days.
And, yeah, and now, and I heard Dax say, you know, whatever, what they've made their decision, and it's about their families, not about money or anything. So I don't know which direction that's going to take them. But I'm just feeling kind of that, you and I have discussed it, right? The way they were handled, you got five belts, but you can't win a match, wasn't the right way or a good way or a productive way or a way to build your business. So I'm guessing maybe there's a good chance they'll go back to WWE. What do you think?
Let me throw a conspiracy theory at you, since we did just see pictures of FTR and Punk together in the last 48 hours, presumably taken recently as well. What if these stories are connected? Maybe the three of them were hanging out because, hey, fellas, good news. I'm coming back. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what we're working on. Let's figure out how we can make this, you know, and the two of them maybe are on board because perhaps he was aware of something the rest of us were not. Maybe Punk was up on the idea that FTR would return, or maybe the three of them had been speaking about this and coming back together. And if this Instagram thing has spiked one, what if it spiked all three?
That's a possibility as well, you know. But like I say, I have never met Dax. I've never met Cash. But it just watching and listening and paying attention, and then a little email communication with Dax between he and I think whatever decision they'll make, it will be for their families and for, you know, and a good solid business decision on their part. I don't think it'll be I love to work with these guys or so and so and so and so. So we'll see. That could be as interesting. Could they pop up on Mania this weekend?
Well, you know what? In an unrelated story, at least at the moment unrelated, that I didn't think we were going to have time to get to, but now it's worth mentioning, Nick Khan was interviewed this week where he promised lots of surprises for WrestleMania weekend because, as he pointed out, it's kind of what we're known for.
All right. Well, that's a possibility, too. You know, but, well, who knows? But so, you know what? Surprises and keeping the business under wraps and showing it to us. If we don't think that's productive in this day and age, then we discount the entire Bloodline storyline for the last 2 years, don't we?
Well, there is that point as well, yes.
Yes, so, yeah. Well, it's fun to speculate, and wherever they go, I want to watch them because they are the best tag team in the business at this current time. And I wouldn't say any of the tag teams in the business are the greatest of all time because that would be pretty nonsensical to say. But anyway, yeah, I think FTR are at the head of the pack in terms of current product value on anybody in any business that I've seen. So I wish them well, and whoever gets them is getting the gold standard, I believe.
Well, hopefully that speculation will come to an end one way or the other this coming week on Dynamite with that match against the Guns, and presumably we'll have some clarity on their future sooner rather than later. Meantime, let's see what we can figure out here for WrestleMania, Les. We'll get to these 2 nights worth of predictions for both nights of WrestleMania. Of course, this is, what, the second or third year now that they've done this with great effect.
Yeah.
It's much better watching two different shows of 3.5 hours, let's say, as opposed to one night of 14-something matches that went on for 5 hours, as they had done the couple of years previous. So I think these shows have actually been a lot better than the ones we've had in the previous 5 years, just because it was not overkill in one night. So being able to take these things into chunks in 2 nights have actually made it a lot easier to watch, which is something we were concerned about at the time they announced 2 nights. Maybe it would be too much, but the way they've divvied it up in the last couple of years has been really good, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, and it certainly has filled the weekend if you're going to be in town. I know I did not watch on Peacock last night. The Hall of Fame was last night, right?
Was it last night? I believe it's tonight, actually, after SmackDown.
Oh, is it tonight?
Yes, sir.
At the same, Raw is on tonight. I mean, SmackDown is on tonight, too. Yeah,
I believe it follows SmackDown, but don't quote me on that. Man. But so I'm going to double-check that to make
but
sure.
I will check and see, too. But, yeah, you know, it's funny, though. Again, with all the matches and all the matchups and the way this has been built, I did see somebody say, well, you know what? There's nothing on that show that I'm not going to buy it or watch it. I don't know if they have Peacock, but I'll wait and see the reviews, and then maybe I'll check out the matches that are giving, you know. And I thought, wow, okay. That's a different approach, I think. But to me, it's going to be interesting because it's like a potpourri of styles and sizes and shapes and stories. There's things with, you know, just a brand new story. There's the whole Bloodline thing with Roman and Usos and everybody else that's been going on for a long time. But we made, this is where legends are made or something like that. That's the commentators are forever saying it. But anyway,
yes.
man. Let's get it out there.
Okay, well, first of all, the Hall of Fame is tonight after SmackDown on Peacock, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Rey Mysterio, the Great Muta, Stacy Keibler, Andy Kaufman in the Celebrity Wing, and the late Tim White is going to be the recipient of this year's Warrior Award. So those are the inductions that we're aware of, at least at this particular point in time, barring anything we don't already know about. As far as the matches for Night 1 are concerned, let's jump right into it. John Cena versus Austin Theory for the U.S. Championship. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when Cena showed up and thoroughly dressed down young Mr. Theory in a dueling microphone scenario. And I still cannot imagine a scene here unless there's an angle coming and a prolonged program between the two of them where John Cena gets his hand raised here. Do you?
I don't. Well, of course, Theory could get disqualified because, you know, Cena is on top of, you know, is ahead of him offensively, and Theory, you know, bumps, hits the referee or doesn't break on a count, or I mean, it, you know, but I think Theory's got to hang on to the belt. Cena can get his hand raised, but it won't be by a clean pin, but I think the belt stays around Theory's waist because I can't see John with all the projects that he has outside of the wrestling world having time to, you know, to get into a long storyline. Do you?
I don't, which is why I would be surprised if this continues. I suppose you could have some sort of non-finish and have a bit of a resolution on Raw. It's not like necessarily, we don't know John's schedule, but you would think he wouldn't have to leave town the next day unless he's got something right. We're not aware of. So if you wanted to follow it up on Monday and then have a hiatus for him, that would be fine. So there are different ways to do it, but I agree. I'm going to take Theory to win the match outright. But, yeah, I don't see a scenario where Theory leaves this week without the U.S. Championship.
No.
We've got Logan Paul talking about the end of his contract in WWE, at least his current one, which he says expires on April 1st. Timing is good here. You referenced Lex Luger showing up at the Mall of America for WCW Nitro, and I could just think about JR talking about the grief Vince McMahon gave him about that one. But Mr. Paul appears to be a very happy employee in WWE. In fact, he recently sat down with Ariel Helwani. If you want to see that video or check out some of the comments, there's an article up on our front page regarding that as well to get the cliff notes, if you will. Bottom line is he's very fond of being there and he believes they're very fond of him as well. They should be. So there's no reason not to extend this agreement. But at the moment, the current one is going to expire after this weekend. You know, he's wrestled some big names. He has performed extremely well, well above anybody's expectations for someone of his experience level. He has not beaten any of the big names. I don't expect that's going to change here. This should be a pretty spirited contest between he and Seth Rollins, and we'll get another litmus test as to how Mr. Paul is progressing. But I expect Seth to be the winner here.
I won't disagree with you, but I'm wondering, too, if Paul was to get his hand raised, and that would be the reason he was going to resign. Better if I like what I like better. I thought about that first, but that this is how silly old Booker's heads work. Rollins scores the win with a fluke, and that's why Paul signs to come back against Seth. Although I will say this, Seth has taken the losses to Logan Paul, and I don't think it's affected him. It's affected me because the fans want to sing a song for a week to 10 days at a time. It drives me nuts, but I'm sure he loves it. You know what? I hate the characterization he's doing, but Jesus Christ, it's...
He's committed.
Yes, he is committed. And I think someone should commit him. But, yeah. It could go either way, but... It's time, don't you think, maybe, and especially on this stage, it's time for Rollins to get his hand raised.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my line of thinking. I mean, it's been a while. Obviously, Cody's had the opportunity to have his pec torn rehab and come back, and I still think that trilogy of matches is fresh in people's minds of Cody over Rollins three straight times, which did wonders for Cody, frankly, and didn't damage Rollins a bit, but at some point, it is time for a guy as important as Rollins to the company to get his hand raised. And this seems like a good a moment as any, because it's an opportunity for him to get a win in what's likely to be a spectacular contest. And, you know, no disrespect intended to Logan Paul, but it's not a regular who you're going to see again immediately necessarily, or right. is going to be here week to week to be damaged by any kind of loss or to do something here. Again, there's room here for a win for Rollins and maybe an angle on Monday that leads to bringing it back in some shape, form, or fashion. But as far as the actual match itself, I expect this to be really good, and I expect Seth Rollins to get his hand raised.
Yeah, and if they're going to have a return, I hope that Logan Paul will ask for the stipulation that Seth stops that stupid cackling laugh, which is so phony and so fake. By the way, Seth, Million Dollar Man is retired, okay? We don't need a reoccurrence. Anyway, yeah, so it could go either way, but I think Rollins gets his hand raised here.
Now listen, if Paul asks to be stipulations including the laugh and the ridiculous suits, he's a babyface to me.
Yeah, me too.
What about this six-woman tag match with Trish and Lita making their returns as legends in their own right, with Becky Lynch against Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky? Seems to me like a way to get the ladies of Damage Control on the show, working with people who they obviously have a great deal of esteem and respect for, and an opportunity which didn't usually happen under Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who may or may not still be in control of running the day-to-day operations creatively, depending on who you believe, but an opportunity for legends to actually be shown a proper amount of respect, teamed up with arguably the biggest star in the women's division, and a nice opportunity for them to have a fun match where they all get their hands raised and everybody gets a chance to show their appreciation and respect for Trish and Lita.
Yeah, I don't see Lita, Becky, and Trish doing the job. I just don't, because of Lita and Trish, even more so than I think than Lita. I said to Jim, we were watching this thing the other night, I said, isn't it amazing that Trish is older than Lita and Becky both, and yet she looks younger?
Hey, talk to DDP. Yoga keeps you young. Trish is big into yoga. I believe she has yoga studios.
That's right. Yeah, she teaches it too, doesn't
yes.
she?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, Damage Control to me is Bayley, because I'm not, I have never, as you know, been high on Dakota Kai. I'm curious, sometimes, why is she there? And with Sky, she's okay, but like I say, they are the bookends for Bayley, because Bayley is the one who's carrying the ball if this were a football game. And so, yeah, I think it's got to be Trish, Lita, and Becky getting their hands raised.
Agreed. I remain high on Sky. I don't think she's had the opportunity to really show what she's capable of at this level in this company yet, but perhaps this will yet still be the vehicle for that. Tonight, however, or this weekend, will not be the case for that. But there is a showcase match, if you will. In fact, that's kind of the title of it. The Men's Tag Team Showcase. In other words, it's one of your favorite matches, Les. A fatal four-way with tag teams, no less. It's not just four people, it's eight. The teams are Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Street Profits, the Viking Raiders, and the Alpha Academy of Gable and Otis. And I suppose you cannot discount the fact that old Gable will be left hung out to dry at some point this weekend with Otis's fascination with the male model thing.
Of course, Otis, who was the woman who was in love with him a couple of years ago?
Oh, gosh, they did do something a couple of years ago, didn't they? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. Oh, what's her, that's no longer there with NXT.
Don't give me
that. Because of her.
Oh, Mandy, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Mandy. Yeah. So I don't know. They do one of these strange love affair every couple of years. But they've already done it with Otis, and I'm thinking, how many times you want this guy to look like just a complete idiot, right? And anyway, this is a mishmash. I think Strowman and Ricochet are a good mid-card babyface team. And I listen to the fans' reaction to them, and they work well together. And I think probably better as a team than either one will progress as a single. And, of course, we're not going to get into that whole, the mechanics of that and everything. My friend Jim is way over the Street Profits, and they're talented. And I know there's been some talk about the one, you know, pushing the one guy, you know, separately as a single. But then that leaves some. I don't, you know, but they are who they are, and they've been there a while, so somebody likes them. I mean, it's not that they're not talented. I didn't mean it that way, but they have, you know, they've just kind of. They exist. Does that make sense?
They missed their window with the Street Profits. There was an opportunity to really go someplace with them. And they were in the middle of doing other things which were important, which was attaching the Usos to the Bloodline and reestablishing them as the dominant tag team in the division. So I understand why they made the decisions that they made, but there was an opportunity, and I think that window, at least for now, has closed for the Street Profits. So, yeah, to your point about them just kind of being there, yeah, something does need to happen, and I think that's why people have been more than whispering, but talking about the idea of Montez Ford going out on his own, and he got the opportunity to show himself in that Elimination Chamber match last month. So perhaps that's a glimpse into the future. But on this particular occasion, I think you're right. They're just one of those teams that's going to be in this match to do some really nice stuff. And then we'll see somebody else get the win. And when I look at this lineup, my eyes go immediately to Strowman and Ricochet.
Yeah, I think so, too. The Viking Raiders. Now, I've known for years, he wrestled as Handsome Johnny.
You're kidding. The beard. Come on. Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, he did. I still tease him about that. Well, occasionally, I'll say something about Handsome. If a picture of them is posted on Facebook or something, I'll say, man, Handsome Johnny's come a long way, and he'll give me a thumbs up. Yeah, a lot smaller. I'll tell you, the fact that he's wrestling at all, there was a situation. I mean, there was a chance he would never wrestle again. And I remember I had done a weekend camp with Bob Evans, I think, in New England, and we were at a show, and that was, you know, it was talked about then that, you know, his career might possibly be over. He was at that show, but could not he was just coming back. That was it. And they had told him he probably would never wrestle again. And with the size he's got now, he moves tremendously well. But I think those guys have been wasted too, you know, by just, you know, being there to a great degree. And I don't think what's her name coming back is there. Whatever she's supposed to be.
Oh, I don't even know what they call her now, but Sarah Logan.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, and Alpha Academy, I think, is overstated. Not overstated, it's welcome. Gable's a hell of a wrestler. Without the comedy, I don't care what his size is. Jesus Christ, let the guy wrestle. Otis as well. You'd realize Otis was a hell of a collegiate Greco-Roman performer.
You worked with him at the Performance Center, right?
Yeah, I did. Nice guy, and he legitimately is a funny guy. He really is. Without trying to be, he just, you know, that's just his personality. Yeah, I liked him a lot when, you know. But, yeah, with this match, it's Strowman and Ricochet without a doubt, I think.
I agree. That brings us to one of the marquee matchups of night one. As Rey Mysterio said the other day, the beating he's going to lay on Dominic is for every parent who's ever wanted to just show their kids who is the boss. And I said, yeah, I like that because I don't care.
Me too.
Listen, don't you be calling children's services on me, but let's be honest. Every parent has had that thought a time or two when their kids have just been pulling all sorts of shenanigans. But we've got Rey and Dominic here on a weekend where Rey is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. In a lot of ways, we really haven't discussed this, but this is really a huge weekend for Rey Mysterio. Were it not for the incredible success of this Bloodline angle and the success of Cody Rhodes' return, you could have easily built this weekend around Rey going into the Hall of Fame and wrestling Dominic if you'd wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Rey is, you know, and there again, I know I make the comment here about the Hall of Fame if you're active, but Rey is one of the main reasons that Lucha in this country has become so popular, because he was the luchador that was on the biggest television show and was used very well. So, you know, he's the guy that's kind of spread the word for Lucha. And I thought, you know, at first I thought, oh, I don't know where I'm going with this. But Dominic stepped up in the goofy, you know, character that they've got him with, where he's a jailbird because he spent a night his tats. And, I mean, it's clever, it's funny, but it, you know, it's kind of the kid trying to be bigger than the dad. And I thought the one time that Ray dropped him, they did it exactly right. It was because Dominic had, you know, insulted his mother, and Ray said, enough's enough. And it was just the one, and he did it the way, you know, you hear me talk all the time, okay, the heel's doing, this guy's doing, and he's doing the beat down too long, right? He's killing what he built with one or two shots. And that's what I think Ray did perfectly here, because he dropped Dominic. Dominic showed, oh my God, my dad actually did hit me. And then Ray goes to his wife, and you know, which is the reason he hit the kid to begin with. But Ray, yeah, Ray gets his hand held up here. I don't give a damn how they do it. It could, you know, Priest and Rhea or Finn or some damn body can jump in if they want and get Dominic disqualified. But the point is, with Ray going into the hall, yes, absolutely, he gets his hand raised here, win, lose, draw, whatever you want to put it together, he is the guy with his hand in the air.
Okay, so let me ask it to you this way. I guess this is a little inside baseball, but it is Ray's weekend in a lot of ways, with being inducted into the Hall of Fame, having the opportunity to go in front of a sold-out building with 60-plus thousand people with his son. I mean, can you imagine 16-year-old Rey Mysterio in Tijuana wrestling in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people, which is a big crowd in and of itself when you're a teenager, imagining himself on this kind of stage with his own child? I mean, you talk about the things that dreams are made of. But if they are the things that dreams are made of, and every parent kind of looks as their kid at their child as a better version of them, do you think Ray's dream WrestleMania weekend ends with Dominic getting his hand raised in Ray's own mind?
Well, if Ray wanted to do it, and I would say that would be up to Ray. You know, we talked about Moxley, you know, and the Punk thing, and who didn't agree and who did agree. That would be on Ray. Ray, if you want to put him over. Now, I'll tell you a story about that, okay? That tournament in L.A. that Nigel and I booked back in 2012 and 13. One of the tournament matches was Adam Page against Adam Pearce. And we got Page, you know, everybody figured, you know, on the West Coast, Pearce is big name. And Adam Page wasn't even known on the West Coast at that point in time. So anyway, it was a point system. So in this point system, Page is two up on Pierce, who is the one everybody's figuring this guy's going to run over the kid. And the kid's up two to nothing. And Page hits him with this lariat one of the best I've ever. And Page sold it like he was knocked out. So Pierce wins the round and moves on in the tournament, but he's upset because the scoreboard still shows Page at 2-0. Now it would be 2-1, but the match is over, but he's behind in the score, but he won. So we had because Adam was winding his career down, we had an Adam, we were going to present Page, you know, with an award. For his, you know, all these years in the business and everything. And I like the guy, and I'll tell you what, I think his work is so good, so solid, that he could have, you know, he could have worked my generation or anybody's generation. He's just that good. So anyway, on that particular night, I left it, this, like we talked about, not that night, but before, I said, look, this is your night. The match is your match. It's a return. We know that. Everybody knows, all the fans that have been coming to this tournament, they know the story. Do what you want, you know. And he put Page over. So, you know, it's what. And if that don't show that Adam Pearce is a class guy, then I'm not sure what would. But, Ray could decide he wanted to get Dominic's hand raised. And if he does, I think this should be a hell of a match. I mean, believe it or not, I'm not a huge fan of Dominic Mysterio being a top guy in anybody's promotion. He seems like a good kid. He's learned He's doing better, but who knows, you know? But yeah, if Ray wants to get his hand raised, I say go for it.
I think all the ingredients are there, and the way this has been built for Rey Mysterio to win this match, I think his dream is to have his son win at WrestleMania. I'm going to go with Dominic, and I will tell you this. I have no idea whether this means anything or not, but you will be interested to note in this week's Observer, if you haven't read it already, that Dominic Mysterio is apparently winning over hearts and minds in WWE, and I think he's kind of turning the corner with both of us. In that when we looked at this gimmick for him about, you know, being almost comic relief in Judgment Day, we sort of rolled our eyes at it at the beginning. But much like Seth, he has completely committed to this, and he's been so good at it that he's actually kind of won us over with this silly stuff. And according to Dave Meltzer, he has won over Triple H. Paul Levesque is one of Dominic's biggest fans, apparently, in creative, and is high on his potential future. So do not be surprised if, obviously, Ray is aware of this and thinks that this would be a perfect jumping off point for the kid to maybe turn the corner on this angle as well and become a serious wrestler.
Here's the only holdback for me to that particular scenario.
Got to get him in the gym.
That,
Got to get him in the gym.
Yeah, that's two. The other one would be that if Ray puts him over, then they're not going to get back together. If Ray wins, then there's a reason for Dominic to come back to the family. I don't know that that's going to be the case either, but again, we don't know, right? We haven't talked to Triple H or Vince or anybody else for that matter. But what we've got here is a match that could go either way and make sense, right?
The best kind.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're taking Ray. I'm going to take Dominic. We'll see what happens there. Now, this
All
is
right.
one that...
And we'll meet in the middle of the ring, by God.
Speaking of meeting in the middle of the ring, talk about something that has been several months in the making without us realizing it until the last few weeks. The Undisputed Tag Team Championships are going to be on the line on night one of WrestleMania with the Usos facing off against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Obviously, an emotional reunion for Zayn and Owens in the last couple of weeks. We noted last week that Jay may be firmly in the camp of Jimmy, but not necessarily firmly in the camp of the Bloodline. He's here simply for his brother, and I do think, and we both were of the opinion last week, that there is still some sympathy / warm feelings with Jay somewhere for Sami Zayn. So does that factor into this match? I expect to see new Undisputed Tag Team Champions. How about you?
I think Zayn and Owens go over.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think Zayn and Owens go over. And one of the reasons I say that, because I don't think Roman drops the strap the next night to Cody.
Really?
But I think, no, I don't. But we'll get to that when we get to that, won't we?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Or that would be the way I'd book it. That doesn't mean somebody else is going to, you know, write the story or book it the same way, just because that's my stance on it. But yeah, I think this... Sammy and KO score the win. It gives them a chance to continue the program with the Uso, with Jimmy and Jay, and it may find Jay being torn and create some more story there. But yeah, and then I think Sammy and Owens, once they get the belts, need to defend them against not the Street Profits, but some solid teams, and come, but still they can go back to the Usos, and you've got some returns there, obviously, and plenty of heat that's been building over a period of time.
Without question. Yeah, I'm interested to see, and I'll ask you about the Usos, Zayn and Owens, when we get to night two in that main event, in terms of how they're going to follow this up, not just on Raw, but maybe at Backlash in a few weeks. But that brings us to the last remaining match for night one left to discuss, and that's for the SmackDown Women's Championship between Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. I think they've done a wonderful job with what they've asked Rhea Ripley to put forth on television over the last few weeks, in speaking about the first time they met at WrestleMania a few years ago and not being ready, and this being a different Rhea who's got a little more polish to her, if you will, at least the way they've presented this particular angle. And Charlotte being the one that she needs to knock off in order to validate herself. And I think just the way it's been framed leaves me with the impression that Rhea Ripley is getting her hand raised.
I agree with you. I think, that's the thought that I've had over how they put this together too, is Ripley gets her hand raised. But then I'm thinking, well, Charlotte, how this time back with the belt, when did she get that? It hasn't been that long ago.
It has not. I'm not sure. It's been 6 weeks.
No. And that would be my, I am dead set against, switch of the belt like you change your clothes, right? Or, and that would, to me, it might be a bit quick, which doesn't mean they could throw this match out. I mean, these two girls are size-wise are similar, very similar. And they could just, and with the brawls they've had, they could just throw this out and bring it back.
You know what? With bringing it back, my thought was this, because when I looked at this lineup, I originally thought there's a pretty fair chance that Flair and Ripley could close the show. And if you do, then Ripley should probably have her moment. However, why don't you close with the Usos versus Zayn and Owens? And have Flair escape with the title, kind of like you set up a scenario earlier in this conversation where Ripley is taking the majority of the match and it looks like she's going to win going away, and Flair steals one, and an absolutely distraught Ripley the next night on Raw challenges her to some kind of special match at Backlash, and you have some sort of all-out brawl there where Ripley wins.
Yeah, I could do that, sure. Are you looking for a job with WWE?
How much are they paying?
I don't know anymore, but pretty damn good, I'd say.
I would not have answered the phone, but, they tell me Vince is not really involved on the day-to-day basis anymore. So, if I could figure that out for myself.
The check's in the mail, and I'll respect you in the morning. What else would you like me to check?
I only mentioned that because there is something up on the front page now. If you're late getting to this show, then you may have already seen it about Vince signing a new deal with WWE to remain on board as chairman. Whoa, thank goodness we've averted that disaster, huh? And of course, it touches upon the rumors that he may have at least a little influence on the current creative process. But either way, we'll see how this one shakes out. I am going to stick, though, with the prediction of Rhea Ripley as champ. You are looking for Charlotte to retain?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Simply because it's just to do it this quick, and with the two of them, give Ripley a second match to get that belt, and then they've got, she's got to give Charlotte the rubber match, obviously, so that's three, and then she goes on to defend against some of the other, women. Charlotte's, does something to build back, so yeah, I can see that.
All right. Well, that'll take us to the night two matches. We're one less match on night two than night one because of whatever's going on. We believe it's illness having to do with Bray Wyatt. Regardless of what it is, we hope it resolves itself with everybody in the picture of health. But he and Bobby Lashley not going to be a part of WrestleMania. Bobby's actually in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which is going to be happening on SmackDown later tonight. So we'll start with the Women's Tag Team Showcase match, another four-way. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez as one team, Shotzi and Natalya as another, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler together, Ronda, of course, nursing that broken arm, but, she's a fighter, so she's here, and Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville as that fourth team. I look at this lineup, and if it's not Rousey and Baszler, then I guess you could go Morgan and Rodriguez, and if Rousey's going to be going back home to let that arm continue to heal, then Liv and Raquel make the most sense.
Yeah. And, I'm high on Raquel anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's, I think, got a hell of a future in this business. She's size-wise, she's right above Charlotte and Ripley but her fire, that's what gets me. There's no doubt she loves what she's doing and she's got her heart and soul in it. And too many of the people, men and women in the business currently are just going through the motions. But she's certainly not. Yeah, I would like to see them win it. Whether they do or not is hard to say, but yeah, I think that would make the most sense. I will say this about Chelsea Green. She plays the part of, she could, what was the movie, Blonde, Dumb Blonde,
Oh gosh, are you talking about the Reese Witherspoon one? Oh God, what was that called?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you, Legally Blonde.
Yeah, Illegally Blonde. Green and her byplay with Adam is good, I think, too. Now, you haven't had a chance to see if she's a good worker, decent worker. She's not only green in name, she's green in her amount of time around the business, but I see a future for her. Again, she takes the character like Sammy did with his. she's taking it serious and she's doing her best with it, and she comes across as quite natural in that particular characterization, I think.
What do you think maybe about the idea, and I have no idea, I'm spitballing just because you brought that up, of Chelsea Green and Dominic Mysterio, for that matter, sort of looking at Sami Zayn almost as like a template, as opposed to Sami looking at it as something, a throwaway, because he was in that kind of gimmick match at the previous year's WrestleMania, where obviously his skill was thought of highly enough to take care of non-wrestlers in a particular match and make it entertaining. But then moving on into this thing with the Bloodline, you know, again, it's a comedy sort of sidekick, side piece kind of thing that wasn't meant to be, I don't think, creatively at least, outside of Roman's mind and Sammy's mind, to last more than a couple of weeks. And the fact that he just dug in and made this thing what it was, and when everyone else saw what was happening, they, to their credit, jumped on it. You know, do you think that that maybe inspires folks like a young Dominic, who obviously is going to do his best at whatever because of his youth and an opportunity here that a lot of kids his age don't get, but also for Chelsea Green to look at these situations that normally were intended as throwaways, watching Sammy make it work maybe has actually redoubled their own efforts, because if it happened for him, it can happen to them.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And I agree. And, you know, here's something, too. However they end up using her, but the thing with Sammy, it's about this. You, no matter where you are on a card or who you're wrestling, the people that are picking and choosing who's going to be where are watching. And this is, you know, the only way I ever got to move past the opening match and looking at the lights was to do a hell of a job for whoever I was looking at the lights for, and them saying, can I work with him again? Why? Well, because he got me over, he's safe, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you step up when you, you know, well, like the Usos, they were just, if you look back, you know, when they first came on, they were a mid-card team, right? I mean, that's the way they were used too. But when they had this opportunity, they shifted gears and they, you know, okay, we got a shot to be known here and to be in a strong deal. We need to step up. And yeah, that's the way you got to do. You know, you mentioned Dominic, but yeah, if Green's work continues to improve, the character gets over, why not?
Why not, you indeed? Know, now, I can make a lot of reasons why not for this next match, though, which is Brock Lesnar versus Omos. So, I mean, I've seen a few stories this week about Brock's, I'm not sure what the contractual status actually is, but that Brock is apparently maybe going back home for an extended period of time sooner rather than later, which may have led to the making of this match, between that and the fact that he wasn't high on the idea of wrestling Bray Wyatt. But I still don't see that as any reason for Omos to get his hand raised.
I don't really either, but, you know, yeah, well, the reason I think Brock will get his hand raised is his two meetings thus far with Omos. He's looked at him with amazement. He has basically made Omos look like, well, hell, why are they even having this match, right? Omos going to run right over him. And I would say that was to set up the fact that Brock gets his hand raised. Because I've got to believe that, like you and I, when you see this, the average fan seeing this matchup, realize who Omos has never wrestled, which would be any of the top guys in the business, or in that company anyway, and who Brock is, and they're thinking, why are we wanting more to watch this? Brock's going to eat his lunch. So they're trying to make it interesting for you, but I think Brock gets his hand held up.
I agree. I believe Brock in relatively short order. This is a match that I'm actually looking forward to. You and I are both not fans of multiple-person matches, but this just has, to quote the great Jim Ross, slobber knocker written all over it, times three. With Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, will set the record for chest turned beat red in about 90 minutes or 90 seconds, I should say, flat on this one. But I expect the champ to retain. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. Gunther is over. I mean, in terms of the heel, he's over with the people. He's different. He comes across differently from many of the other people on that roster. Yeah. I think so, but yeah, it's going to be a slobber knocker or a pier sixer or whatever we can call it, for an all-out beating the hell out of each other, and they will. you know.
Let me add real quick one caveat to that. If you are correct in Roman Reigns, which we'll discuss in a few minutes, retains the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, then could you see Gunther losing on night two in order to be Roman's next challenger?
That would be possible. That would be possible, yeah. If that's the way they're going to go with it. And Gunther, I think, at some point would be a good choice for Roman. But I don't know if this is the night. That's the other thing. I don't know. It's hard to say. But, yeah, I think Gunther retains because he's done such a good job as a champion. And McIntyre needs to be elevated coming out of this in some manner. And he and Sheamus is, you know, two buddies beating the hell out of each other. You remember the John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man?
Yes, I know where you're going, yeah.
Does that kind of remind you of the same thing?
I see exactly where you're going with that, yes.
Yeah, where they fight from the pub all the way down through the hill and almost, and the people come out of the pub following them. And all, but when it's over, they shake hands and hug each other, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, yeah, and you still got to consider them in the tag, but to me, Drew McIntyre, if I were a great artist, I would draw a picture of what I think would be almost the perfect size and look for a strong baby face. Drew McIntyre fits. So, I think he needs to be put back in the mix with Roman in some shape or form at some point as well.
That brings us
to... The Gunther wins this one, I think.
I agree with you. The Hell in a Cell match between Edge and Finn Balor. Edge asking Finn to bring the demon. Finn apparently obliging here. We may get more of that sort of mixture of Edge from back in his Brood days, as we saw a while back in another angle he had done earlier in this run here in WWE since his return. I am going to say, gosh, this is rough, but I think that I'm going to give the advantage to Edge here on this one.
Yeah, it is a tough call. I agree with you. And I don't know how far they plan to go with any of this past this particular match. And with that, I wouldn't be surprised. If this is the end of the Edge and the Judgment Day guys, or at least for a while, I say Finn gets his hand raised, especially if he comes with a gimmick, you know, ends up getting his hand raised. Unless you get Ripley and Beth involved for some reason, and I think I don't see that, or at least I wouldn't suggest it, you know, if someone said, what do you think we should do in this match? But yeah, there again, like I say, now, is the Edge going to take a break? I mean, you know, here was a guy, hey, this guy, he does TV series and all, and he's just back for a short time. That short time has grown into a long time, has it not?
It has. He's picked his spots well.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, he's got longevity. But I think as far as these two guys, this should bring it down to, you know, well, what is Hell in a Cell? You know, it should be the end of a feud. So, you know, whoever goes over, they should be moving on to something else. From here, I think.
Well, this could be either a miserable weekend for Judgment Day or the weekend to make all weekends.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, if Finn were to get his hand raised and Ripley at the same time, then they could be crowing for days, couldn't they?
Yeah, or conversely, if you enjoy the occasional laugh or two, if Ripley's the only one who leaves here with her hand raised this weekend, the rest of them will never hear the end of it.
That's a possibility as well. Yeah. But then I forgot, we were talking about Dominic and Ray Ray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Dom got, if, but I don't get me wrong. Finn's a good help worker. I love Priest because I know him well, and I'm so happy that he's, you know, I saw him, I just thought he was a great baby face and a great spokesperson for the Hispanic people in as much, you know, because he has a great personality. But he's a heel now, which doesn't mean he's going to remain that. But, it could be a big deal for Judgment Day. But I don't know how strongly they come across to you without, I mean, I've never seen that. Well, they haven't really gotten the push where they were going to be at the summit of this whole operation. Have you?
Well, this could be the thing, right? I mean, if they sweep the weekend, who's better?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, though. Yeah, and, of course, the things we're talking about here, too, please understand, folks, everybody else has to look at it the way they want it. And the announcers have to say, my God, these guys, you know, the Judgment Day scored 3 wins out of 3. What's that? Well, you know, and then as a group, they need a push, a step up from coming from here. But if you put them right back in the same situation, then it hasn't accomplished a thing.
I think you've unintentionally sold me on this.
We don't know what the writers there are coming up with. We're just giving you people that are listening our opinions of what we think we would do in the same situation.
I think in talking this through, you've unintentionally sold me on the idea of Roman over Cody from this standpoint.
Now, well, how about we haven't got Asuka and Bianca here yet?
We haven't, but let me just toss this in because it's relevant to Judgment Day.
Oh, okay.
Day.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay because it's relevant to Judgment Day. Judgment Day sweeps the weekend, and while both these groups are heels and it should matter, it doesn't matter as much as it used to. What about they sweep the weekend? And when I said, you know, they'll sweep it, who's better? Well, the Bloodline will say we are. What about Judgment Day versus the Bloodline after this?
Well, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Dominic, we talk about Dominic, he'd be traveling in real high cotton.
Yes, he would.
Around those other 5 guys.
Yeah.
And he would have to really step up. He would. I mean, and I'm not saying he can't, but I'm saying, you know, his lack of experience compared to the others and, you know, everything. He would be the, if there's a weak link in that 6-person deal,
that
would be him.
Yeah, he'd be there to take the fall.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But, yeah, that's not, I wouldn't disagree with you that could be a possibility.
All right, well, keep that in your back pocket before we get to this main event. And as you mentioned, we'll talk about this Raw Women's title match between Asuka and Bianca Belair. Bianca has sort of made things right after that horrendous loss last year at the Royal Rumble, or when, I believe that was the Royal Rumble. She redeemed herself against Becky after that 30-second or so loss, has had a nice lengthy reign, has looked good in doing so. Asuka's had a bit of a character change, if you will, new face paint, a little meaner, got a little more of an edge to her. Again, even though she's had, a fair amount of success in this company, someone who's not been used to her best effects since graduating from NXT. And this is a wonderful vehicle since she's kind of revamped the presentation a little bit, and a good time since Bianca's had a good run for Asuka to win this championship and put Bianca in the position of chasing for a little while.
And you know what? I won't disagree with you. I would put the strap on Asuka here. I think she's earned it. There's no two ways about that. In NXT, plus, you know, her as she said, she's come up to the main roster. She's a hard worker. And Bianca, you know, I've said this to you before. She's a hell of an athlete. There's no two ways about it. She's a Knoxvillean too, so we're kind of home kids together. But her promos are too mechanical, and she doesn't connect as well with people. And my friend, I don't like it either, but my friend Jim loses his mind when the worst thing about her is she has one character, and that's smiling, dancing, and waving that stupid extension. And they could be shooting her mother and father, getting ready to execute her mother and father, her music would play, and she's going to come skipping down the aisle, swinging her extension, and I want to lose my mind when that happens.
Hey, that is something that reminds me of a young Dwayne Johnson, remember? When he was first presented as Rocky Maivia, it was very clear that Vince McMahon had impressed upon him to be happy no matter what. Even when he had the instincts to know that he probably shouldn't have been, he was giving Vince what he wanted. And as a result, even though he was a babyface, we had signs in the building that said, "Die, Rocky, die," which seemed a little harsh.
Yeah, well, you know, and with, here's the thing, with not just Bianca, But the reason we're talking about her is because she is the champion, and she is given that platform. So they want her to be noticed. So, okay, we're noticing. But she needs to develop in that character and realize if she's coming out to help somebody, damn the hair, damn the dance, and damn the music. Run your ass down there and start throwing punches or kicks or whatever. You know, you can't. I don't know how you can be happy when you're getting your ass handed to you. But you know, that's my flaw with her. And like again, when I listen to her promos, when she hits like a positive in her promo, you want to hear like that roar that Becky gets, or that roar, you know, you're not going to get Cody or Becky. I don't think she's not there yet, but it's not what I expect it to be or want it to be, you know, because, and then I was trying to figure, I think I've said that to you. I've been trying to, and it's basically that she's repeating the script. So whoever has put the words in her mouth, and it's not, there's not a ebb and flow to the conversation. Am I making sense? I hope.
Yeah. I mean, really, this is the best argument for the way things used to be done and the way the business used to be, because her athletic ability aside, were this the days of the territory, she would not be in this position on the card because of the things that you've pointed out as her shortcomings. But she'd also have a chance daily at house shows and weekly on television to iron those things out and work her way into that spot. I mean, relatively speaking, She's extremely inexperienced.
And I don't know if I've mentioned this recently or not, but I was going to say, you know, we've talked about why I don't think something is a professional. And we mentioned like the thing with Omega and the Viking, Lucha Viking, you know, with no facials and body language. And I'm going to, you know, in 1963, the first time I ever wrestled in the Carolinas, we were in Gastonia, which is just a community to the south, maybe 30 miles from Charlotte. So Mr. Crockett Sr., he didn't make all the towns, right? But he was in Gastonia. I remember this like it was yesterday, and it certainly wasn't. Excuse me. I was working with a guy named, a good heel named, a veteran named Jan Madrid. And I put Jan over. Of course, I was just learning my craft again and trying to do the best job I knew how. And I forget what his finish was, but when I got to the back, Jim Crockett Sr. didn't think I had sold being hurt with that finish enough. It wasn't that I wasn't selling at all, or maybe it was, I don't remember. But he laid me low verbally right there in front of everybody. And my friend, I didn't get pissed off. I didn't get mad. I got mad, but it was at Les Thatcher is the person I got mad at. And I will say this, Jim Crockett Sr., in all the years of our relationship past 1963, never had to yell at me again. Took the lesson and made it work for me. So, and that's one of the reasons, too, that I'm so critical of these small things, because it's these nuances, as you and I keep pounding. It's not the dives and the quadruple somersaults into a sponge. It's the facials of the body language and the timing that draw the people in and make it good or bad. And that's what Bianca needs to work on. So I'm going to take Oscar on this one. Not that I don't like Bianca and my homegirl from Knoxville, but I got Oscar putting the belt around her waist.
We are in agreement on that one, which brings us to the biggest match of the entire weekend, Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes. All the, I think, items are stacked in Cody Rhodes' favor. The idea that he came back with a great deal of fanfare, that not just millions of eyes of fans watching every week to see what happens to the kid who left, started something new and comes back, but there are tons of eyes in the other locker room who are anxious to see exactly how young Mr. Rhodes is going to be treated in WWE. You've got the tremendous story of him trying to accomplish the one thing that his father, who just was one of the most decorated in the history of professional wrestling, never accomplished. But it's something Cody can put on his resume if he's successful this weekend. You've got the whole finish the story thing, which plays into his history with his dad. You've got the great conversations we've seen in the last few weeks between he and Paul Heyman, and then eventually the showdown with Roman Reigns verbally. And so there are a lot of things, I think, pointing in Cody's direction, and it's the reason I'm going to stick with my selection of Cody as winning this match. But you said a few minutes ago you are going to pick Roman Reigns to retain, so the floor is yours. Tell me why you see that.
Well, I just think that Roman's not done with a title. And I think, yes, will Cody get it at some point? I absolutely think so. But part of the allure to get behind a babyface, and again, I don't care if it's 50 years ago or 50 years in the future, the deal is that that babyface, that guy that you're supporting, you're cheering for, you're hoping wins, becomes the champion, gets so close to grabbing that brass ring, but it's snatched away from him by that bastard or bastard's buddies or whatever who is the champion. So I don't see that being over yet. Why? Because these guys have never had a match. So I think Cody has to struggle. I think that Sunday night he gets within inches of that brass ring. But how the decision is made, I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. You could end up, you know, where it looks like Cody is going to win it. You got to figure the people are putting on their coats, getting ready to go home. And so Solo, or I'd say Solo more than one of the Usos, rolls into that ring and nails him and gets Roman disqualified. Belt doesn't change hands on a DQ. Or he could be, you know, with a Roman goes down or the referee goes with Roman and Solo nails Cody from the outside and Roman gets the pin. But the point is Cody gets screwed out of, you know, fulfilling his dream to do what his father couldn't. And go back to do it one more time.
So
at least. And then yeah, I think Cody gets the belt, but I think at some point, but I just wouldn't do it Sunday night.
Is this something, and we're involving Solo here for obvious reasons over the last couple of weeks. You know, we talked about this last week. I was concerned about, you know, you're not ready. Then they're going to have a match, and then he's going to beat him. And you quite correctly pointed out to me there's a million members of the Bloodline. They don't have to actually beat him. Then they turn around and they beat him. So I was like, wait a minute. What is happening right now? Why did we just pin this guy? But on some level,
they don't want anybody. I didn't mean to talk over you, but they don't want anybody to think Cody isn't going home without that belt.
True.
On Sunday night.
Yes. Yeah.
What's my Leo Garibaldi say?
Oh yeah, give them what they want, just not when they expect it.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's my, you know, my psychology of it, and does that work 100% of the time? Absolutely not, but it does work a fair percentage, a damn good percentage of the time. And like I say, I think because Roman needs to face some of these, well, like we mentioned, Gunther, you know, but ultimately when he drops it to Cody, then Cody has got to face some of these guys who Roman has already faced. Roman has to work his way back to Cody. So that gives us another 6 months. I don't know. And that's part of it too. The beauty of the whole Bloodline, I'm probably driving people crazy by saying it all the time, but that's a damn yardstick. That is the gold standard of how stories should be put together in the wrestling business. And I'll stand by that. I don't give a damn who is running what company or who's in what company. This has been the best thing that's happened for this business, in quite some time, I think. And so I think they should be smart enough, hopefully they are, to continue on with that. In fact, didn't you read it someplace, or I read it someplace where they're saying that people within the company are saying we need to, you know, put together, since the Bloodline has been so strong, we need to put together stories that have a longer shelf life.
Boy, was that welcome. I mean, even if it's just rumor, the idea that it might be floating somewhere around Stamford, makes me feel just a little bit better at night thinking about the way they put these shows together.
Yeah, me too. And I hope some of that thought process slips over to the other company.
Oh, God, from your lips to God's ears. You kidding me?
I know. I'm wishing for rain when it's snowing too, right? So I can wish all I want. But, yeah, I'm going to leave it. I'm not saying Cody doesn't get his hand raised. I'm saying the belt doesn't change hands.
Additionally, that would presumably give Roman, since we're in agreement about the tag title match, a little more to crow over, or maybe rub the Usos' noses in it as to why they need to stick with him moving forward. If you did something like this too, and I'm just spitballing again here as we prepare to wrap this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, let's say Solo helps.
But you're
go ahead.
Yeah, your point is so well taken. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, for Roman, it's just another way to reinforce that these guys need to stick with him because they didn't get it done and he did. So where are you going to go off on your own and do what?
Sure. And let another little chink come out of the armor or out of the wall or whatever you want to call it in the bloodline, which said, yeah, well, they're going to turn on him, right? I mean, isn't that where we've been? How long have we been thinking this?
Yeah. Yeah. So let me throw you something here because I was thinking about this the other day, and you've got me thinking about it even more since you picked Roman. I'm standing by my pick of Cody here, but since you did that, I started thinking about, and obviously Roman retained a couple of years ago in emphatic fashion over Edge and Bryan Danielson, so it's not like it would be the first time a heel left WrestleMania as the champion. I mean, Brock over Roman a couple of times as well. But remember what kind of controversy it was back in the year 2000, Les, and I know that's asking a lot of people to go back to recover a lot of brain cells, but the year 2000 when everybody thought it was the time for The Rock to beat Triple H, and instead of having the one-on-one match everybody was expecting, they had that fatal four-way with a McMahon in every corner, which was just a cluster to end all clusters and one of the least satisfying WrestleMania main events in recent memory. But the point is, not only did Triple H walk away as the first heel to exit WrestleMania as the winner of the main event, but Vince McMahon got to have his cake and eat it too. He had the opportunity to make this match, have everyone looking for something in particular at WrestleMania, not get it, and maybe leave that night grumbling, but it also led to the best backlash buy rate maybe in the history of the backlash pay-per-view, because that's the next month is when they went to the one-on-one match between Triple H and The Rock. You also had the opportunity of an injured Steve Austin coming back to help The Rock at the end of that match when he wasn't available at WrestleMania. And you got not only the one-on-one match, but the visual of The Rock pinning Triple H clean. So you got everything everybody wanted the previous month, and Vince McMahon got two big paydays and two big buy rates out of it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and that's the thing, too. When you give me everything I want, then I don't need to want, if I don't need to want anything else, why do I have to keep, you know, but that's the thing. You keep coming back. You know, I know one of the corporate stances in WWE in recent years is you want to send everybody home happy every night. No, you don't. You want to send somebody home grumbling because, you know, and give them a reason to want to come back. That's, again, you may say it's old school, but it works. It works because that is basically what's happened with the Bloodline storyline, has it not?
Yeah, so with that in mind, let's just play this out just a little bit further. There's a couple of options for backlash if Roman retains. Let's say Solo helps Roman, and Cody is left stunned at the end of night two, and Roman Reigns' run at the top of the company continues. You've got these X amount of weeks where Roman is rubbing the Usos' noses in it about how they need him now more than ever, and he's proven to be the chief and the head of the table. And so we either get to maybe a six-man next month at Backlash with the Usos and Roman versus Cody, Zayn, and Owens, and Cody pins Roman there in the six-man and earns his way back to a singles match. Or maybe you bring it back as a one-on-one title match the following month, but after all these weeks of Reigns making the Usos angry, it's the Usos who cost Roman the title next month.
Well, that's a possibility as well, except the reason you and I sit here and go through this all day.
Sure could.
The reason I wouldn't do that is that satisfies your fans on too many fronts.
Mm.
See my point?
Yes, I do.
You know, and if I've eaten everything I can eat, then I'm going to move away from the table, right?
Yeah, that's something you don't want to end in one particular night, even if it takes 4 weeks to get to it.
No, you don't. But there's nothing wrong. I mean, this is what you and I are doing here is what we used to do if you and I actually were working a match, right? If we're given the opportunity, hey, you guys are together tonight, you're on fourth. We need to get Vic over. Okay, how are we going to do that? Best, and are we going any place? Well, we think we got you. You're coming back here next week or whatever, right? So we sit down, and if we're in the same dressing room or we're passing, I have been in dressing rooms where the referee probably lost 2 pounds walking back and forth between the heels and the baby faces, right? Where one team or one guy is, but that's okay. Part of that finish is good, but then let's add this. Well, the referee's got to go back. You know, you see my picture I'm drawing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's an exchange of ideas, and there should be. If you come in and say, hey, you and I are working tonight, here's what I want to do with the finish, I can say cut and dry. Okay, good, because I agree. And I think, yeah, that's a good idea. And you figured in what you need to do to get over, what you need to do to leave me with something, you know, after I'm bitten beat. And so that's good. But so often, well, I'll add a little bit here, or you'll add a little bit there or something, you know. And so it's the way things work. But, yeah, what I do think is when we get to that main event on Sunday night, we're all going to be focused because we want to know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is important, too, right?
Well, it's just another sign that they've done everything right with this to this point.
Exactly. And they have. They have. There's no two ways about it.
So that wraps our predictions for WrestleMania, and yeah. Damned if we aren't right up on 90 minutes. That's SOB. Who asked for more 90? I want their names.
And their house number.
I need to lodge a complaint of some kind.
If you see a guy with no hair show up at your front door, run.
Yeah.
Is Vic being nasty?
Yes. A very angry Victor Sosa coming for revenge.
Yes.
Before we wrap this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, though, now I suppose are we gonna have to address you now from this point forward as Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer Les Thatcher has decided to grace us with his presence, and now you have the opportunity to get t-shirts, DVDs, and professional wrestling training at weekend seminars and training camps from a Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer.
Or you can just leave me at home and send me money. That would work.
You can do that too.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, in fact, the second off, you know, works a lot better. Don't have to spend it on transportation or anything. Yeah. If you're interested in booking me for a one-day seminar, a weekend training camp, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. Be more than happy to drop the information to you. I email and give you all the particulars, what I do, what I charge, et cetera, et cetera. But I will guarantee you that I will give you a hands-on presentation. And if we spend a weekend with your talent, I can promise you they will go home with some tools to improve their game. Talking about t-shirts, and I'm going to have to buy some myself. If you want a copy of the first ever pro wrestling t-shirt, it would be the Briscoe Booster Tee, put out by Jack, Jerry, and myself in 1972. Artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. And you can get that Briscoe Booster T-shirt or replica of it at Pro Wrestling Tees. And also, I'm a Les Thatcher guy. Shirts are on sale there as well. Wrestling from the Heartland, the last developmental tapes, volumes 1 and 2, over 6 hours of content each. That they're both two DVD sets, matches, interviews, extras. Joe Dombrowski and I do the voiceover, and Joe handles most of the play-by-play, and I talk about the behind-the-scenes stories and about the talent. You can get those a copy. Oh, and I want to mention, too, that number 3 should be out in a week or so, and Joe is at WrestleCon this weekend, and of course he has all these DVDs with him, and I'm going to get to the Pillman in a minute, and I'll give you a little extra added thing to check him out for right there. But anyway, the Wrestling for the Heartland Volume 3 should be coming out within a week or so, and that will also be a big one. And our stuff can be seen now on Premiere Streaming.
What?
As well, which I haven't had any contact with. But I mentioned the Brian Pillman shows, the 20th anniversary. I'll spit it out here in a minute. It's a 4-DVD set, over 15 hours of content, all the four great shows of 98, 99, 2000, 2001, matches, interviews, footage of the auction, awards, and so many extras. And Joe and I do the voiceovers there as well. As well, Brian Pillman Jr. is involved, and so many of the stars that were on the show. And you can get those at PillmanShow.com or the two addresses above, JoeDombrowski.com or ProWrestlingLibrary.com. What I was going to mention is that WrestleCon, Joe's going to have the HWA DVDs, the Pillman DVDs. But what he's also going to have, they won't have any, you know, is I dug up a half dozen programs, like brand new, from the Pillman 99 shows at the old Cincinnati Gardens, which had been torn down now. And I did autograph the welcome page that I did each year in those programs. And so Joe has six of those out there in LA for sale. Plus, we have some like brand new, in fact, they are brand new, no one's ever worn them, event t-shirts from Pillman 99. I think the size, small, medium, and XL. It's only a half dozen, but that's what I had, and I sent out there to him. So if you run into him and at WrestleCon, check out the merch as well. And I guess that wraps it up for us here. And, wow, we want everybody to enjoy WrestleMania and have a good time. And we'll be back here next week to talk about how we screwed up on our predictions.
How dare you? I am still in the running to win my company's Final Four March Madness bracket, so I'm hot right now.
Okay. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and we're going to have, I want to mention, too, we're going to have Jerry Briscoe on here in the next few weeks.
Yes.
To talk to us about the Hall of Fame and this, that. And him and I will pick at each other and tell some great stories from the old days, too.
For sure.
All right, Victor.
Been a while since we've had Mr. Briscoe on the show. By the way, if you go into the archives at F4WOnline.com and search through our Wrestling Weekly podcast series, you can find the last time we had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Mr. Briscoe. They'll give you something to do between now and next week. And while I celebrate my upcoming bracket victory here over WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. For the legend and professional wrestling Hall of Famer, Les Thatcher, my name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy WrestleMania weekend to spend some of it here with us. Enjoy the shows, and we will talk to you again next week.